Thanks for tuning into Upward Way Podcast. If you're looking to be spiritually blessed, moved, and inspired, there is no doubt you are in the right place. On our show, guests recount their encounter with Christ and how their lives have been transformed through the grace and love of God. And now, please welcome our host.
Hello and welcome to Upward Way. I am your host, Marlon Walters. My guest today is a recording artist, Amanda Hagel. Welcome to Upward Way.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Yes, it's really a joy to have you. And I know we have been, planning for this for a while. So I know the audience is really in store for something special. So where I want to start, Amanda, is first, if you could just, walk us through, how did you first get into music?
Well, one of the ways I like to describe my musical journey is, it wasn't me that pursued music. Music pursued me. From a very young age, I was just kind of always gravitating towards it. I grew up in a family of nine children. So I was the youngest of nine. We grew up in a very musical family. So I was always surrounded by singing and playing of instruments. And it just felt like, the music just continued to cultivate me from a young age, just, calling me towards it. And so it just was a natural fit, just for my everyday life. And as I got older, as I grew up, I became more involved, whether that be through, a church choir or community organization that had a, an event that I could sing at. Everything kind of evolved to the point where I started playing in bands and performing regularly and then to writing and to recording. And so the journey has been an amazing one. And it's continuing to unfold, which is the most exciting part about our life journey, really, in general.
Wonderful. So you said that the music beckoned you to come. So something that I don't know if people have ever asked you before or, thought about, but do you ever feel kind of burnt out with this? Have you ever felt that maybe I need to think of something else? Have you ever had that experience?
It is so funny that you're asking me that question, because just even recently, over the last few weeks of just, promoting this new song and kind of reflecting on the journey to this point, I've actually been feeling, a little bit of that. And I think we go through these periods of life that challenge us for various reasons. But, to pursue a career, to pursue a calling, I like to call it actually, in the arts, is definitely a challenging one. For me, it's been exciting, but there have been moments where, there's a lot of effort and work put into it. Plus, you're also very vulnerable. You're bearing your heart and your soul to the world every single time you put out a piece of art. And I think every artist, any creative, can relate to that. So yeah, I've definitely felt those moments of being burnt out, and just, the idea that this is a calling and this is my mission, that keeps me grounded and that keeps me centered. And it keeps me going. And, I'm also surrounded by some pretty amazing people that lift me up when I'm down and give me those pep talks that I need. I think we all need those people in our corner, So yeah, definitely I felt it, but I'm continuing on. I'm not going to quit.
Yes. And since you mentioned that, I'm just looking at your background. The listening audience may not be able to see it, but, I can see things on your wall and seems like trophies and so on behind you. So, how do these, let's say, accomplishments, do they also help with, helping you to stay grounded, remaining focused?
It's definitely, a nice little pat on the back once in a while to get some, recognition for the things that you're doing. It's not necessarily the thing that drives me. It's not in the forefront of my mind. I think that to me is just it's just like a cherry on top of a beautiful cake kind of thing. So, I'm grateful for it, for those opportunities and nominations and awards whenever they do happen. But really, it's always been about the art for me and putting that first. My intention is always to create the best, highest vibrational music I can that has the most meaning. And that's going to impact the world. And really, that's what drives me every day. And so I enjoy that pat on the back once in a while. But, that's not the main focal point for me as an artist.
Yes, and I'm happy I raised the question and you answered that way, because, sometimes we can be driven by what is promised by way of accomplishments. And if we get it, we say, yes, I've arrived. And if we don't get it, oh, we become deflated. So you spoke about this new project. Actually, on would say this weekend of recording is the release. The title is Call on Me. I'm familiar with the story behind it, but you know, for the audience and even for yourself, you know, what's the background to this song and why is this song so special for you? Because I know you have produced so many songs over the years.
This song definitely is one of the most profoundly beautiful and serendipitous. There's so many words I could use. Just the way it came to be was just incredibly amazing and beautiful. So I like to kind of explain the backstory a little bit behind it so that people can understand, you know, as a woman of faith, as a woman who walks and lives her faith every day, you know, it's interconnected with the music. So last summer, I was actually at that point we talked about, you know, being burnt out previous. I got to a point where I started to kind of really question, you know, what my next musical assignment was going to be. I just came off a big 2023 release for a different song that had done really well in the United States and across North America. And so I didn't really know what direction to take. You know, there was a lot of pressure being put on me at that point to figure out what the next song was going to be. And I had some ideas up ready to go, but they didn't feel right. And so I began to pray and I began to meditate, you know, asking for the divine guidance, which I do often. And it was only a few short days after I began to pray about this that, you know, I had a visceral kind of physical experience with the song coming through. And it really did write itself. I mean, I was just amused that it came through and I sat down with my pen and my guitar and my recorder and I captured, you know, the chorus and the melody of the song right in an instant. And then it was less than 24 hours, the whole song was written. I'd written a poem a few months before that actually bridged the verses of the song, which is so interesting when you think of synchronicity in life. I didn't know why I wrote this poem. It was a beautiful, you know, and again, when people listen to the song and you start to get really connected to the message, it was really an incredible thing to see the two come together because they had not been written with that intention. But that's how God works. That's how the divine spirit works within us and around us. So I just surrendered to that experience. And it was the most incredible writing experience of my life. And if I happen to get to experience that again, I'll be so grateful. But if I don't, I mean, as an artist, I can't say that there was anything better than this experience. And I believe, you know, for me, it was, I coined the song, it's God's message to the world. And it was a message that I think the world needed to hear at this time. And it's a beautiful song about, you know, the upliftment and the power of the human spirit and just uplifting people in those darker times in life, because we all go through those ups and downs. I've gone through some myself. And so, you know, the idea that we're not alone and that God is kind of revealing these profound and powerful truths about who we really are, I think that's an incredibly powerful message for people to hear. And you know, I just trust that it's going to land in the hearts of people who are meant to hear it. And so far, it's been a really amazing response to the song. So I'm so grateful.
Yes. And as I look at the lyrics, I like the rhyming pattern, the ABAB pattern. I'll just share a bit of the chorus for the, I mean, I know people will be listening, but in the chorus for me, it's strong. It's your faith that makes you stronger. It's your will that turns the tide. When you feel like hope is lost, it's your heart that guides your life. Off your knees, it's time to rise. Call on me, child of mine. Powerful. Powerful.
Yeah. And when I hear it too, honestly, I get chills because I know where it came from. You know, I know that moment that it came into being. You know, it was just incredible. So yeah, it's a powerful, powerful song for sure.
Yes, indeed. I'll spend a little bit more time on your musical journey, and then I'll be flipping through your faith journey along with that. But you know, reading your bio, we will see that you are country music artist, not singularly, you know, gospel artist, but you're a woman of faith. So, you know, how do you, let's say, explain, you know, how does someone understand you being a Christian person, but your music is not only gospel music, but you branch off into other genres?
Well, when I started to kind of bridge the two, and to be honest, this song is actually the first song that I've pitched kind of in the Christian gospel market specifically. I had other songs, I think, over the years that would have fit, but I hadn't found the right person to work with at that point, or the right people. So, you know, it just felt right to kind of go in this direction with this particular song. But as a country artist, you know, gospel music, you know, faith-based music has always kind of been intertwined to some degree. So it didn't feel like it didn't fit. But, you know, I started to coin myself in the country genre an inspirational country artist, because I felt like that description kind of, you know, made sense to a lot of people, especially if they're not necessarily, you know, from that background. And so to me, being in spirit or living from that place of the divine is kind of how I live. And my music is a reflection of that. And so, you know, we do need to kind of put labels on things. But, you know, for me, it's just this essence of the soul, this essence of who I truly am, which is this divine spark, right? So that's kind of how I describe it. And it's been great. It's been well received in the country genre. I've had such great success, and there's a lot of great people in the industry. So I've been fortunate to, you know, to work with a lot of them. And I just love this journey, because now I get to meet people like you, and we get to expand and kind of just reach new audiences. And it's just so much fun, you know?
Yes, indeed, is fun. So another question, this has to do with the music journey. Individuals often, I mean, talented individuals often think about, you know, using that gift, that talent to produce content, whether in the sense of being a gospel artist or otherwise. But sometimes it seems as if, you know, it's not happening, or maybe they think it will be or glamorous, and they're not experiencing that, you know. What advice, you know, life advice would you give to individuals who are blessed with the talent, they want to produce, or maybe they are already on the journey, but they're not finding the success that they would have been expecting? What is your life advice to him or to her?
Oh, that is a good question. one of the things that comes to mind when you ask that question is, you know, there's this balance between, you know, conforming to what is expected and what's, I think, a little bit more commercially viable in a certain sector like the music industry. And then there's this idea of following the path of the heart and really being authentic and genuine in your artistry. So, you know, it's been difficult to bridge those two. It's been difficult. And, you know, I've done a lot of different experiments over the years with releasing certain songs because I thought that maybe it would fit. And, you know, I've gotten feedback on both ends of the spectrum on every song I've ever released. So the biggest thing that I can say is you're not going to please everyone. And at the end of the day, it's more important for you to put, you know, content and music out that reflects the true essence of you and what is your true intention behind it. You need to make sure you really dial that in and understand that the world doesn't need more copycats. The world needs you. The world needs your light, because only you can shine it. And you do that through your art. So, you know, just stay true to yourself. That's the big message.
Sounds like the real artist. The world doesn't need more copycats. Wonderful. Yes. So now I'm going to dig a little into your faith journey itself. And as you say, you work in a unique field. You know, yes, music comes with many advantages, but I'm sure there are challenges. So as it relates to your faith journey, where and when did this all begin?
Well, I grew up in a faith-based home. And like I said before, you know, the music was always a part of that. So, you know, for me, church choir, church hymns were kind of almost the introduction to music for me. And there's so much beautiful music in different faiths. So, you know, that was, I think, one of the grounding components of, you know, walking the faith, but intertwining that with eventually with the music. And so, you know, I had some siblings who, you know, one is in ministry actually. So it was easy for me to kind of go there and be confident and open to sing songs that had that kind of spiritual depth. And it always felt right. And, you know, there's this connection to the heart that you get from music like that, that I just crave now. You know, if I write a song, it's like, if I'm not connected to it, I won't record it. And so that's kind of, I think, how I would describe how the faith and the music come together. And, you know, specifically for me, it's all about following my heart. And that heart is kind of that beacon for me. It's like that compass. And I believe that is definitely a language that that only we get through that connection with God and the divine, right? So, I mean, that's how I interpret it. And so I've used that as my compass, my guide for my whole life. And, you know, so my faith is definitely, I walk that now and I'm so much more confident. I think as you get older, you start to realize that, again, you have to live that authenticity. And it's a big part of me and who I am and what cultivates my life. So why wouldn't I express that? Why wouldn't I be open and excited about that?
You know, I've heard this concept of following your heart many times, and maybe someone listening is saying, oh, she's talking about following the heart, but you put it in perspective. It's about God leading. So it's not about just, okay, I want to do this, I want to do that. Following the heart must be in the context of God is leading. So you follow his leading. Wonderful. Brilliantly said. So the other thing has to do with, you know, this idea of investing. So you have already invested in your career. That's why you are doing well. But in the spiritual sense, you know, what are some of the steps you have taken to ensure that, you know, you can remain spiritually grounded? You have alluded to the fact that you have a good support system. One of your siblings, you know, already ministering. But for your own self, you know, what are some of the things you do to remain anchored?
Oh, that's a good one. One of the things that I do more frequently is I'm always reflecting. So I'm always in a almost like a quiet meditation. I like to describe it. I mean, prayer could be another word, but you know, there's always a conversation going on, you know? So when I'm making decisions on anything, whether it be music or just life in general, I'm always checking in. Like I'm always going inward first. And I think for me, I've learned how to listen to the voiceless voice. You know, we talked about the heart earlier. That voiceless voice is kind of the beacon for me. So, you know, before I go out and try to, you know, figure things out in the external world, I take concept or an idea or, you know, a decision and I take it in. And as long as it takes, and usually it doesn't take very long, you get better and better at it. The more you just learn to trust that inner knowing, right? And that again, that's that connection that comes from that higher essence. So that's what I do. That's one of the biggest, I guess if you want to call it a spiritual practice. But it's just living that every single day. And it just becomes natural. It's like having a conversation with a friend. I have that conversation with God, the divine essence, that higher essence, every single day. So, you know, it becomes second nature. And that's what guides me. That's the thing, right? You learn how to trust.
So back to the music aspect, you know, do you collaborate with other artists? If yes, you know, who or... if not, who would you look forward to collaborating with in the future?
That's a good question. I've collaborated with some artists in my area. So I'm from, you know, I'm living here in Canada in Saskatchewan. So there's some country artists in the province that I've worked with a little bit, done some songs with, collaborated with. If I was to pick somebody in the country world on the global stage, if you're familiar at all with country music, you know, there's two that have always been really huge inspirations for me. One is Dolly Parton and the other is Martina McBride. And she was a gal who was really big back in the 2000s, 1990, 2000. She's an incredible singer and she's recorded some beautiful music. So those two, if I had to pick either one, would be an incredible opportunity to collaborate with.
Yeah, I think I've been exposed to both, but I'm more familiar with Dolly.
Yeah, everybody knows Dolly. Martina's just, I mean, if you're a fan of a female country artist, she's one of the iconic ones now in the country music scene. And when you hear her voice, you'll never forget it. It's just one of those, wow, you know, she's incredible, incredible artist. Yeah.
Yes, but I think I heard about Martina via listening to another interview some time ago. So I will just check to, you know, hear a bit of the content. Another thing, what would you say would be the favorite part of this line of work? And you could follow up that by maybe saying, you know, what is your favorite place to perform?
The favorite part of the process? Oh my goodness, there's so many favorite parts. Is that what you're asking? Like,
no, favorite part of being a musician, and then follow up with maybe your favorite place to perform.
The favorite part of being a musician. Oh, there's so many favorite parts. If I had to pick, can I pick more than one?
Sure,
if I had to pick one or two, I would say that, you know, for me, you know, I consider myself a creator of musical art. So the creative process from start to finish is really almost sacred for me. And in some ways, I've become more of an observer of the process as it unfolds. And, you know, for people who aren't familiar with the process, you know, once you get that inspiring idea, the song can come, as I described earlier in my most recent release, in an instant, or it can take a little bit time, like kind of like molding clay, right? You come up with a couple lines and a melody, and then you've just got to cultivate, kind of mold that into the full song. But beyond that, you know, there's a process then of going into the studio and kind of coming up with the arrangements and working with other musicians and producers. And for me, that is like my Christmas. I had to describe going into the studio and working with the amount of amazing musicians we have in this part of the world. I just get to watch their creative magic come alive as they put their beauty and their sparkles on the song, right? They almost, like I describe it, like they bring it to life. And as a creative, there's nothing better than actually getting to see an idea in your head become a living thing. I mean, it's like all of creation, right? But that is just so much fun to me. And then, you know, beyond that, being a performer and actually interacting with audiences, that would be the second thing I would say, especially in those moments when there's so much stillness and quiet in between the notes, in between the lines that I'm singing. I'm having a visceral experience with the audience. Like, we're connected on a deep level. And to me, those are just those magical moments that feel timeless. Like, I feel like an hour goes by, but it's 5 minutes. And so, you know, from those two places, I mean, if I could just continue to get to do that on a regular basis, I mean, what's better, right? And so I feel like that's what everybody needs to do, is find those things that just bring you the greatest joy you could imagine, and just try to continue to live those as much as you can.
And your favorite place to perform?
My favorite place to perform, you know, typically, depends on the venue, but I'm really particular about the venues that I like to, you know, play and put shows on in. But I've had a few moments where it's just been a small, you know, very intimate audience. And as I described, it's those moments where, I mean, you're not hearing any other noise. There's just such a stillness and a quiet. So I really like those intimate venues where I can, the sound and everything, the experience is kind of created for the audience too. You know, sure, there's the allure of this big arena shows, and they're great. And there's the energy there, and there's the music is, you know, surrounding you, and you've got the lights and all that. But those moments of stillness are just, they're incredibly beautiful and sacred, I think.
I've never heard it like that. Most times persons want the big arena with people. it speaks to where you are as a musician. In terms of rehearsal, let us say a typical day you have to go to the studio. You know, what is that like? Is it a 1 hour thing, a 2 hour thing, a few minutes? You know, what is rehearsal in the studio, or even for the sake of recording? You know, how much time do you have to actually put in terms of studio work?
Well, it all depends on who I work with. So I've had the pleasure of working with a couple different main producers. One is kind of has a different approach. He likes to bring a majority of the musicians in all in one session to record, you know, the main components like drums, guitars, and bass. So in that sense, I mean, I go once for that sound recording, and I just do a ghost vocal, but I get to be a part of just the, you know, putting it all together in that way. And then I'll go back for some vocal sessions to lay down the vocal tracks and the harmonies and the things that we need to do to finish the song. But I've had experiences where we've done it kind of almost one track at a time, one instrument at a time. And so I go back to the studio multiple times to work with the producer to do that. And each experience is really fun and unique. And so there's really no right or wrong way to do it. If I was to pick, I'd probably want the full band to be there, because like I said before, there's this creative magic that these guys bring, and they are just the most incredible musicians. And I marvel at their level of talent. And so, yeah, so it takes a few sessions for us to get the song down, and then the producer works his magic and puts it all together. And I try to be as raw and authentic with the vocals and with, you know, the musicians. I like to work with people who don't like to cut and paste too much. You know, we try to kind of capture the moments, because people hear those. Even if you don't recognize it, there's something that you feel when there's moments that are captured, especially with the voice. And so I'm really I'm really I consider that now with all the music I create, because I want it to be raw, as raw as possible. Kind of like how analog was back in the day. I never got to record. I was too young for that, but I can imagine the pressure to try to record a song in analog that was like a one take, you know?
Beautiful. So in a sense, it has to do with the mindset, how open you are for change or, you know, something different.
A lot of trust too with the producer. Like you have to have a lot of trust, right? That's why I'm a little bit selective when it comes to who I work with, because yeah, I mean, you're bearing your soul and you want that person to kind of take that now and make it into something beautiful. So yeah.
All right. So I'm going to jump back a little to your faith itself. And this one is something I would say is a bigger question. So you're talking to someone who has never heard about God or doesn't know too much about God. You know, what would you tell him or her about God from your own experience? So in a simple sense, you know, who is God for Amanda? That's a question.
Oh, that's a big question. One of the things that comes to mind, right? From the start is, you know, on my faith journey, on my spiritual journey, one of the things that I really had to learn how to do, as I kind of alluded to before, was to go within. And I've always thought of life being an inside job, not an outside job. So there's this idea of surrender and going within yourself and, you know, learning to love all of the aspects of you. I think self-love is probably one of the most important things that we've come here to kind of learn and to master in some way, I guess, if you want to say that. But for me, to love myself means is to love God and is to know God, because we are sparks of God. We are made in the image of God. So that's how I kind of interpret this idea of God, right? Is, you know, we're often very distracted in the world, especially today, right? Like there's so much distraction, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, cultivation of that internal kind of relationship that we have with ourselves, right? And there's so much pressure to be a certain way, you know, in the world and stuff. And so we don't want to look within. It's a little bit scary to go within. I think for a lot of people, it's very, very difficult. And it was for me for a long time. But once I learned to love all those parts of myself and just embrace the essence of who I was, and to learn that and to kind of, you know, just go within and sit with that, that's where God, my relationship really had flourished, really. So for anyone who's kind of feeling that, you know, idea of being a little bit lost in that sense and not really knowing where to go, I think that would be the advice I'd give, is just to be trusting enough to go within yourself and to get quiet and get still. In that place, I think that's where you're going to find God.
I think I'll toss two more questions on you. So you told me at the start that you were always surrounded by music. So could you envision yourself doing anything else apart from music production? And if so, you know, what else could you consider yourself doing as a career or ministry?
Well, actually, it's funny you say that. By day, I'm actually a personal trainer. So I'm in the wellness, health and wellness field. It's one of those things that I feel keeps me really grounded. I've always enjoyed being athletic. I was in university and college volleyball. I went to school for a few years. And so I always appreciated taking care of my body. And I think, you know, that kind of ties in with the whole self-love thing. You know, the body is a house for the soul, for our higher essence. And so I really take that seriously. And it just became a natural part of my life. And it's a way for me to be grounded, but it's also a way for me to have a foundation to springboard the music off of. Because I find often if we're too, and again, I look at other artists and I look at other professionals in the industry, and I can appreciate that it's probably a pretty tough life at times, being on the road a lot, all the demands that are there. So I just chose to kind of do it in my own unique way. And so I find that being in the health and wellness field is great. I also love being in nature. So if I hadn't done that, I think I probably would have been a horticulturalist or a gardener or something. I grew up on a farm, so I love nature and animals. So if I wasn't doing those things, I'd probably move over to the nature side for sure.
Okay, so this is the final question. If you could change anything in the music industry, I mean, I know there are many things happening, you know, positive, a few negative, but if you could change one thing, what would that be?
Whoa, you're asking me really good questions, but they're like, wow. One thing that I would change, I think, here's what I would say. I would love to see like more aspects of the industry. And again, I'll have to explain this a little bit to try to move away from it being so competitive to it being more collaborative and cooperative in that sense. So I find there's a lot of pressure indirectly to compete all the time for whether it be just a placement in, on a radio station or, and I get that that's a part of any industry and it can be healthy, but I feel like it takes over sometimes to the point where you lose sight of your intention and the true nature of the artistry. So it would be nice to see more platforms and more parts of the industry really bring up the art itself and celebrate the art without having to have, the awards or the things, because there's so many incredible musicians and artists on this planet. And I think we all deserve to be heard, but we all deserve to have our art, on the front lines, on the front stage. Maybe that's, I don't know, that's probably a really crazy thing to even consider, but I just feel like we need to start moving into more unity and less, separation in that way, right? I think I would love it if it was more based on that, for sure.
Yeah, and that is something I too would love, because it's true, when you're working, you don't always want to feel as if you are competing against someone else. Your focus is, putting out the best and for the audience to truly enjoy. So thank you for that. So to my
Yes.
listening audience, we have been speaking with Amanda Hagel. She is based in Canada. She has won so many awards. I don't want to say all of her accomplishments. You will go out and you'll do your own reading. But I must say thanks today for taking the time out to share. And just a little summative of some of the things, not all that we have really spoken about. So she has spoken about her musical journey. Music called her latest project, which is Call on Me. We have looked at how do you deal with, that feeling of burnout, and the importance of having a good support system, family, friends, and even those other musicians you work with. She spoke about how she has been able to remain grounded, favorite aspects of the music industry, things she would love to see change, and then, what other career path she could take if it wasn't for music and being a physical fitness trainer. So with that said, just before we go, Amanda, as is customary on the show, do you have any parting words to share with our listeners?
Well, I just, thanks so much for having me. Thanks for giving me a platform to speak and to tell my story. I think it's so important. And just to any aspiring creative or artist out there, just remember that the light that you've brought to the world is your light and only you can shine it. And we need more people to stand up and be courageous and brave and just shine that beautiful light in the world. If we all did that, every single person did that, think what the world could be. So be brave, be bold, and just go out there and shine that beautiful light.
Needing more persons to stand up, be brave, be bold, shine that light. You've been in tune to Upward Way. Do join us again next week when we'll have another interesting guest sharing his or her story of faith. You're invited to subscribe to our weekly episodes on the Apple, AWR, Loud Voice, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podcast Guru apps. You're also welcome to visit Upward Way Facebook page. Click like, leave a comment. Until then, I'm Marlon Walters saying goodbye. May God
You've been
you.
Listening to the Upward Way podcast, the number one audio production show for people who want encouragement and reassurance in a muddled world.